Hallelujah. You may be seated. Wow. How y'all doing tonight? Amen. Can I move this right here? Amen. All right. I got to lay aside every weight here. Well, nothing besetting me here. It's good to be here tonight. I hope you're excited about being here on a Wednesday night. Normally, we would be having our Bible study on Wednesday night with the children, but we thought it so fitting that we would be here, so we didn't cancel Wednesday night. We moved to Tuesday night, and the children got the word, and so they still came. Amen. Before I get too spiritual, I just want to say that, you know, that we are the 4A basketball champions for 2017, and we were undefeated 32-0. We are 2018, and now we're like 61-0, and we'll play in the championship at Georgia Tech this coming Saturday. Amen. So we're very, very proud of our young men. We actually had them. We hosted them last night at the church and got a chance to pray over them and to minister to them. So we're just excited about what God is doing. It's remarkable because it's amazing how sports brings a town together. I mean, it's crossing all the lines. Amen. And so God is doing some wonderful things there. It is so good to be here. Good to see my friend. I just thought about you a few days ago. I said, man, we haven't gotten together, and here we are. So happy to be with Cross Culture. We love you so much. It's just always a joy to come. Thank God for my men who are here. See, Mr. Marcus just came in. Thank God for my men that are here with me tonight. And we are going to be here in big number come Sunday. Amen. So we're looking forward to that as well. All right, y'all excited about the word tonight? Amen. Amen. Can we just have some fun in the word tonight? Did y'all get that sheet that I had everybody to get? Can we do about 2 hours, 15 minutes tonight? That's my short message. Can we do that one tonight? We won't hold you long. Let's pray and see what direction we will go tonight. Father, we just bless you and we honor you. We thank you, God, for this wonderful evening. We thank you, God, for 38 years of ministry. God, it's just mind-boggling, Lord, when we think about from whence we've come and how great you have been, how faithful you have been, Lord, throughout all of these years. I thank you for my dear pastors tonight. Father, we thank you for their tenacity, their perseverance, their joy and enthusiasm throughout all of these years, Lord. Father, you said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but you deliver us out of them all. We thank you, God, that they are still standing strong, God, still excited, Father, about the vision that you placed in their hearts. So, God, we thank you for a word tonight. God, we ask that you would just bless us, Lord, as we just study your word. God, we want, Father, to be inspired, to be challenged, even to be changed. Lord, I pray that there will be some changes that will take place in our life tonight as a result of what we hear. We bless you, Lord. We won't just hear the word, but we'll also become doers, that we'll be responders tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm a believer. I'm not a doubter. I believe the word of God. I accept what it has to offer. Jesus, you are my Lord. You're the author and the finisher of my faith. Your word is the final authority in my life. In Jesus' name, I am a believer. Amen. I don't know what to call this. I'm going to call this red hot love. Amen. That y'all married folks, y'all just, something just kind of went all over you then, didn't it? If you're single, thinking about getting married, that's something started happening with you then, didn't it? Amen. But we're going to talk about love. And we're talking about the love of Christ. Amen. I want you to go with me. I got Y'all see how many, it's not going to take 2 hours. You see how many scriptures y'all got? See how many scriptures we got to go? Amen. Hey, Greg, I see you right there. All right. We ain't going to do all these scriptures. I assure you, we will not cover them. I want you to go to the book of Hebrews with me. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 24. And let us consider one another. Would everybody say, consider one another? Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Let us consider one another while we're considering one another in order so that we might stir up love. Somebody say, stir up love. Stir up love and good works. I hope tonight that some things I'll share will stir you up concerning love tonight. Because what's happening with me is that God began to deal with me toward the latter part of 2017, going into 2018. And we're calling this the year of building relationships. And what I found is that in our church, there was a need for us to refocus on relationships, because sometimes we do a lot of stuff in the kingdom, you know, we get really busy, you know, and we do come together a lot, but it becomes more, a lot of our getting together is more surface than it is deep. Hello? Okay, so what we've been challenged to do, what I'm challenging my men, I'm challenging the whole congregation, is that, you know, we've got to refocus and we've got to be intentional. Somebody say intentional. We've got to be intentional about our relationship with each other. Okay, see, the one thing I know pretty much I could just say about everybody in here, if y'all knew Pastor Greg was in trouble, I know y'all love me, right? And y'all would pray for me, wouldn't you? You would come to my rescue. If I needed something, you would be there for me. I know that. I have no doubt about that. I know New Life, if something's going on with me, they will be there for me. And most of us can say that about each other, because we what? We love each other. But that's not the kind of love that I want to talk about, okay? Because that's, and I'm not saying that's surface, because everybody can't be everything to everybody. We understand that. But we want to talk about how we need to get deeper. I want to stir you in terms of your love for one another. See, the Bible tells us, first of all, that the first commandment is to love the Lord with all of your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, all your strength. And then he says that the second commandment is like unto it. It's just like it. It's not a little bit beneath it. It's not a lower level. He said it's just like the first one. Just like the first one. And the second one is what? Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. So what that tells me is that as God has demonstrated his love toward me, now he has an expectation that I will demonstrate my love. The way I demonstrate my love back to him is the way I'm loving you. Okay? See, God is, you know, I mean, I can say, God, I love you. And, you know, we do that. Lord, I love you. But how can I say that to him when there's something going on with me and you? There's something going on with us that doesn't pass the litmus test of his love. So God is saying to me, you can say that all you want to, but there's something in this horizontal relationship that you've got to take care of. So my demonstration to him, the way that I reciprocate my love back to him, is to make sure that I got all of my love, I got all my ducks in a row when it comes to my loving you. If I got one duck that's not in the row when it comes to your love, amen, God is not pleased. God ain't satisfied. He ain't hearing it. You know, you can just stop, you know, praying your pious prayers to him. You can stop singing your glorious songs. You can stop doing all of that stuff. You can stop serving and working in the church, because if you got one relationship that you refuse to get right, one relationship that you refuse to take care of, because you have drawn a line in the sand and you said, this is as far as I'm going to go. I done dealt with this person and dealt with this person and dealt with this person. I ain't dealing with them no more. Nobody ought not to have to go through all of this. This is too much. I didn't sign up for this. But you did. But you did sign up for this. Hey, because you said you were going to love him with all of your heart. And see, when you understand the love of Christ, when you understand the love of God, you understand that this love doesn't have limitations. It's not limited. Paul said, he said in Ephesians 3:17, he said, I want you to become grounded, rooted, and grounded in this love. Then he says, I want you to comprehend with all the saints what's the depth and the length and the breadth and the height. Come on now. Now we can actually measure, if we had the right apparatus, we can measure the length and the height and the depth of this building. But think about the length and the height and the depth of the love of God. It's immeasurable. It's immeasurable. It passes knowledge. What is he saying? It passes my knowledge. It's beyond your comprehension. You can't comprehend this except by the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, except by the Holy Ghost. Amen. See, when you position yourself, when you get in line with the Holy Spirit, amen, you can understand the love of Christ. You can understand Let's go. Let's look at this scripture. Okay, we're gonna go through it, and then we're gonna move on. He says, let's do it one more time, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but doing what? Exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I'm not going to stay right here, but could I just admonish you? I am rebuking you. I'm just admonishing you. Don't forsake the assembly of yourselves together. That is so vital, so important. But, you know, we're living in the last days. We're living in perilous times. We're living in times where people don't value coming to church like we used to. We don't value getting together like we used to, so we can encourage one another. You know, Pastor Walker, when I was a member of Cross Culture, I remember one time that I missed a service. And I told Beverly, go on to church. I ain't going today. I said, I don't feel like it. I did that one time. I did that one time. Because we wasn't that big then, and then I had to see Pastor the next time when I did go to church. Where were you at, boy? Amen. So, but I understood that, you know, that it was vital, it was important, you know, to come to the house of God. I remember when we were at St. Paul Episcopal Church, Pastor, that every service we would that's when small groups began. Because every service, we would take 30 minutes of that service, and we would break into small groups. He would give us assignments to be leaders, and we would minister to people. People would get saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, get healed, they would get delivered. You remember what I'm talking about? And right there in that small group, about 6, 7, 8 people, and we would do that in the service. Every service, it was just powerful. It was a powerful anointing for that. And we didn't know nothing about being leaders. We didn't know nothing about, you know, facilitating no small group. Man, we just got thrown in the fire. Just got thrown in the fire. And we just had to do, amen, but the Holy Ghost. Somebody say Holy Ghost. Amen. See, it's not you working. It's God working through you. Amen. And all God is looking for is people that who will avail themselves, who will be available. So I want to stir you up. Say, stir me up. Okay, let's go to let's go to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 1. Verse 22. I'm in 2 Peter. Okay. All right. You got it? It says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, what have you done? You purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren. Love one another. How? Fervently. Love one. Now, fervently, what's that? That's an adjective. They're telling us how to do it, isn't it? He says, love one another fervently. He didn't say haphazardly. He didn't say discriminately. He says, love one another fervently. We're going to talk about that word in a minute. With a pure heart, having been born again. How many of you been born again? Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which live and abides forever. Amen. I know I stopped in the middle of the sentence, but it's okay. All right. He says, have sincere love for the brethren. Okay? That means I can't be, you know, I can't be a respecter of persons. See, each one of these guys, you know, I love them. Okay? Mr. Johnny don't need to compare my love for Ben to my love for him because we have different relationships but the same love. Different relationships with each one of them, but the love is the same. If it's the love of Christ, it's the same love. Amen. Because the love of Christ is shed abroad in our hearts, what? By the Holy Spirit. Amen. See, I'm not talking about this. I'm not talking about no love that you conjure up. I'm not talking about the way you know how to love. See, that's the problem with some of us is that, you know, we love the way we know how to love. I'm talking about we got to get deep in this thing because sometimes my love ain't nothing. My love is just messed up love. Hello. And most of us, when we weren't saved, we was in love, but we were messed up in it. Hello? So now you're in Christ, and now you have the love of Christ that's in your heart, and now you're walking in that kind of love. Now he says love fervently. Let's talk about that word for a moment. Fervent love, that's having or expressing great depth of feeling. Great depth of feeling. Let me give you some synonyms for fervent, blazing, burning, charged, demonstrative, emotional, feverish, fiery, flaming, glowing, hot-blooded, impassioned, intense, passionate, red hot. Somebody say red hot. Red hot, superheated, animated, eager, excited, gung-ho, heartfelt, uninhibited, unreserved, unrestrained, enthusiastic, on fire. Fervent love. Fervent love. He says, love fervently. That means it's got to be red hot love. That means that you can't pick and choose who you're going to love in the church. You can't pick and choose who you're going to love in the body of Christ. Amen. It doesn't make any difference what a person has done. You still need to love that person the same way. Think about your children. Ain't nothing my son can do to make me not love him. Amen. I don't care what he does. Daddy's still going to love him. See, that's the love that God has for us. It doesn't make any difference what you do. He's still going to love you. Now, he does what? Chastise those that he loved. But your performance is not going to make your daddy love you no more. It's not going to make him love you anymore because he loves you as much as he can. But he's telling us now that our love needs to reciprocate his love. Our love needs to match his love. So he's saying, for the brethren, you need to love each other fervently. It needs to be a red hot love. Now, I did this little demonstration. Come here. Would y'all come here for a minute? Yeah. Yeah, them lovers. But, okay. But you go on that side right there, and you stay on this side. Yeah, you go on the other side. Okay. Now, y'all was, now for, just for my illustration's sake, because this is about me and Beverly, all right? So, wait a minute. But, so y'all ain't seen each other in like 20, 30 years, okay? This is what happened to me, is that we were, maybe had been in the Abundant Life maybe about 2 years, I guess. I don't know, three. But this guy came to our church, and he was somebody that Beverly knew, and I didn't know. And when they saw each other, I mean, it was like, yeah. It was like, wow. And they went toward each other. Yeah, and they, yeah, yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. And you know, and I'm spiritual, I'm mature, you know. Man, I'm telling you. And I ain't been married that long. I ain't insecure, you know, but come on, no. Yeah. But I'm starting to think, what the world going on? What is this Negro doing now? So it went on and on and on. You know, it just felt like it was forever, you know. It may not have been, but I don't know. It seemed like it was, yeah. And so I'm thinking, okay, that's enough. I'm going to sit down. So, you want to remain spiritual. You know, I'm a man of God, you know. Been saved a few years. And so I just began to wonder what in the world was that all about? But I just assume that when they knew each other, he wasn't saved and she wasn't saved back in the day. So they were excited to see each other on this side and to know that his life has changed and her life had changed. Amen. So, yeah, I sweat a little bit on that one. But when I thought about it, when the Holy Ghost brought that back to me, I thought about fervent. I thought about uninhibited. I thought about unrestrained. All those things that go through my mind is that, you know, I mean, she didn't even think about, well, what my husband gonna think at that moment. You know, she forgot about she had a husband for a moment. You know, they were just embracing and having a good time, and I was just glad it was over. Amen. Hey, my mind was poked out. I didn't even want to go out to dinner. I didn't want to do nothing. Let's go home. Oh, my goodness. Don't y'all tell Beverly I told that story. Hey, because she doesn't even remember the story. She doesn't remember it happening. She blocked it totally out of her mind. So she's still trying to remember the guy who he is. I hope she forget. I hope she don't ever remember. Fervent love. I told you it's burning. It's charged. It's demonstrative. It's emotional. Amen. It's heartfelt. It's gung-ho. It's uninhibited. It's unreserved. It's unrestrained. It's enthusiastic. It's an on-fire love. Somebody said on-fire love. See, but the opposite of that is detached, dry, impersonal, reserved, undemonstrative, cold, cool, dispassionate, emotionless, impassive, unemotional. And some of us, our love is really that way. That's the way we're loving folks in the church. See, the enemy, this is what the devil does, y'all, is that he tricks us into he gets us, he lures us to sleep in certain areas of our life. Now, how many of y'all been hurt? Okay. How many of y'all been, what's another word? You've had scars. You've been wounded. Yeah. Amen. Wow. Anybody ever been bitter? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. See, all those things that, you know, things that some happened to us when we were, before we came to know Christ, some of that's happened to us since we've been in Christ. Amen. And some of it we ain't let on. We ain't told anybody. We haven't told anybody you know, about some things that happen in our life, but at the same time, we have built around ourselves a fortified city. You know, we put ourselves in, you know, in a box. We locked ourselves in, and we won't let nobody in. But, you know, we come through the doors, man. Everything's fine. What's up? Yes, sir. God is good. Hey, man, we act like life is good, but life ain't good. If people knew what we were really feeling, if they knew what we were really going through, if they knew the pain, the hurt, if they knew, you know, the scars that are still remaining in our life. But see, God wants, he's a healer. Last time I checked, he's a healer. Amen. Not just physical healing, he's an emotional healer. Amen. He heals the brokenhearted. Amen. Whatever is in your life, amen, because this is the clincher here, is that if you don't get healed, then you will never be able to measure up to God's standard of love. If I don't get healed, I don't even have the potential. I have potential to do it, but I'll never, you know, get out of myself. Because see, what my pain, my hurt, it keeps me to myself. Amen. I isolate myself because I have made a declaration that nobody is going to do to me what that person has done to me. I'm not going to know. I'm just not going to let nobody else do that to me. I've been through that. I'm not going to be put myself in a vulnerable position any longer. That's just the opposite of what God wants. God wants to put you back in a vulnerable situation. Amen. Even though you've been hurt, even though you've been wounded, even though you've been scarred, even though, you know, there's some things that happened in your life that were devastating to you, God wants you to be vulnerable, because not so you can just trust everybody, but that you will trust him. Amen. You got to trust him. You got to say, okay, God, I'm hurting. Okay, God, I got this pain. Okay, God, I've been through this. I've been through that. Amen. But you got to be back in position so that you can love again. I'll tell you a story about, Pastor Walker remembers this well, but my second year in Thomaston in 1988, I had a pastor friend, and he had some kind of revival, and he had a prophet come to the church, and some of my people went up there. I didn't know that they went to the church, but they went to the church, and I don't know what the prophet told them, but they joined the church. They joined his church and left my church. Hello. And I will never forget this day. I'm 2 years in the pastor now. You know, I'm excited, you know, by what all God is doing. But, you know, if you got 20 members and 10 of them leave, man, that's pretty hard on a young pastor now. And 8 of them were tithers too. Man, I'm just trying, you know, man, I'm talking about that was rough. But on Labor Day, I won't ever forget it. I got that call on Labor Day. And he called me and said, I just want you to know that some of your members joined my church. Click up. Man, you talking about pain. you talking about somebody hurt. Because we were real friends. I mean, we were real friends. I mean, we really had a connection. We really, you know, would go deep with each other. You know, we would share, you know, things that we, whether we agreed or whether we were indifferent, you know, we would share things with each other. We trusted one another. That's why it was so painful, because we trusted each other. And then at that point, he didn't want to have anything to do with me anymore. But God. See, thank God for having, you know, a pastor with wisdom. And so when you don't know what to do, you know, you call that person that God has placed, you know, to cover you. Amen. So that's what happened. And we had to walk through some things. Amen. And Pastor Walker had to be very honest with him about everything that happened, and even to the point of rebuking him for the way he had handled that situation. Amen. But for me, God wanted to do something in me, because at that point, then you become, you know, really introverted. you know, and you think you, every time you look around, you wonder if somebody's out to get you. But God wanted to teach me how to love again. And so God has done, I mean, you know what God did? I would see those people on the street, and man, I would just greet them and hug them just like they were still members. Amen. But only God could do that. You know, only God could allow me to do that. So God didn't want me to be bitter. He didn't want me to have anything in my heart because, you know, I was trying to figure out as a young pastor, what did I do wrong? You know, they didn't say nothing. They didn't call me and say, Pastor this, or I'm dissatisfied, I'm disgruntled. Nothing. They just left. Amen. But I wished them well. And so, see, that's how God can bless your life. Amen. If you can't hold on to stuff, you can't hold on to people, you got to let them go. And now model them to the point where anybody that comes, amen, I wear them as a loose garment. Amen. If God brought them, amen, and the Lord give it, he can take them away, or the devil can take them away, or whoever want to take them away. Amen. I'm not going to lose no sleep, man. I sleep good at night. I mean, I lay down, woo, before I can get through praying, I'm gone. Amen. I got the sleep anointing. Amen. I'm serious. I hear people talk about they can't sleep. I mean, y'all need to let me lay hands on you because I sleep good. I sleep very well. Amen. God is, he's done that in me that I don't have to worry. I don't worry about, you know, this person or that person. I pray and I let it go. Amen. Give it back to him. I said, Lord, this is your church. Lord, these are your people. Hello. Amen. Don't try to be God for the people. Amen. I'm just an under shepherd. Hello. That's an over shepherd. Amen. There is somebody that is the great shepherd. Amen. Who's watching over their soul. Amen. I just have a responsibility. Amen. To love them, to love people through the stuff. Amen. I try not to give up on nobody. Hello. I've seen people come and go, and they come and go. Amen. But I just love them if they come. Praise God. I love them if they go. Hello. And that's where we should be. And see, God wants this thing to be, you know, he wants us to really, I think, as a church, what he's telling us, we got to pay attention. You know, we got to look around and pay attention to everybody. Because there are people, like I said, there are people that are hurting. And if you don't have nothing to do with folks, you don't know they're hurting. Now, if you are mature in Christ, then you don't have any business being by yourself. You don't have any business being a loner. You don't have any business, you know, just spending all your time on you, yourself, and I. You know, you gotta be better than that. You gotta be better than that. See, there's some things, Lord, Pastor didn't have to tell me. You know, I just know that I gotta look out for the babies. Hey, man, how many of y'all had little sisters and brothers coming up? Hey, you had to look out for them, didn't you? It's the same way in the church. Amen. Don't get so upset when you see people, you know, mess up. The reason why they might be messing up because they ain't got nobody that's come alongside of them. Nobody that's undergirding them and encouraging them in the things of God. I don't know about you, but all of us need encouragement. I'm pastoring 32 years. I need to be encouraged. I need people in my life. If you think you don't need nobody in your life, you are dumb, stupid, and crazy. I mean, if you just thinking it's just you and God, all you need is Jesus, nobody but Jesus, you got to have some folks in your life. If not, why would he say confess your faults one to another? He wasn't talking about to the Holy Ghost. He wasn't talking about to angels. He said, confess your faults one to another so you can get delivered. So you can get healed. If you don't tell the truth about yourself, you ain't going to go nowhere. Amen. You're going to be stuck in a rut. You got to have somebody, Francine. You got to have somebody. You got to have a blood brother, sister. You got to have somebody that you can get deep with. Somebody you ain't got to put on no airs with. You can tell them the truth about yourself. Get somewhere in the corner, and you can just you ever just told the truth about yourself, felt so good, and you wallowed in the flow, and you got to crying and hollering and screaming and just telling God, you know, and, I mean, telling somebody else, and when you got through, man, you just felt so refreshed. man, I got that, all that weight was on me. Boy, I'm carrying all that stuff, you know, and now I'm free. That's what God wants. He wants to be free. Because, see, there's the business of the kingdom. There are things that we got to do. Listen to what the word says. He says in John, he says that the world will know us by our love. How they going to know us? How they going to do that? They going to know when we faking it. They going to know when it's not genuine. They will know when it's not authentic. People can come to your church for the first time, and they will be able to gauge, the temperature. Yeah, they'll know this is a loving church. Amen. I've been to churches where I came in and sit down, nobody said nothing to me. They say, hello, how you doing? They say, goodbye, see you later. I came in and nobody said anything. Amen. I knew what kind of church that was. I knew that wasn't a place that was welcoming. That wasn't a place that was inviting. Amen. See, you gotta go deep. You gotta go beyond. Amen. What you would do in the natural. Amen. We're talking about supernatural love now. Okay, so you gotta go way beyond what you would go. Cause see, sometimes my love has limits. Sometimes I'm tired. Sometimes it's not convenient for me to go across town. It's not convenient for me to stay on the phone for an hour. It's not convenient for me to do this or to do that. But it's not about convenience. It's about me paying attention to the Holy Spirit. It's about others. Amen. Not about Greg, but it's about God using me. Because, see, I need to be an opportunist. I need to take advantage of every opportunity. I need to carpe diem. I need to make sure that I'm seizing the moment when it comes to my sisters and brothers. Yeah, I know you got a husband. I know you got a wife. I know you got children. I know you got a career. I know you got businesses. I know you got this and you got that. Hey, man, but you got to find out, what's the most important thing to God? What's most important to God? See, I don't ever have to tell God about all the things I got to do. If I do, that means I'm too busy. Don't ever waste your time talking to God about, Lord, I'm just overloaded. I'm just too busy. God, I say, you stupid. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing in the kingdom? How are you being a blessing to the body? You're not extending yourself. You all you're doing is making excuses about your life. But God is looking for people. He's looking for folks that's going to say, okay, God, I'm going to reevaluate. God, I'm going to reassess, what I'm doing. I'm going to make sure that this year I'm going to spend some time with each one of these guys. Amen. We're going to spend some time together. I'm going to make sure that this is what I did with my staff. I said, they just don't know. They just don't know what's going to happen from one staff meeting to the next. Because my leadership team, when they come in, now when we have our leadership meeting on Sunday, and now I have them sitting in different places all the time. They can't just come in. Some of them like sit by their buddies, but so they while I'm talking, they can be talking, passing notes and all that stuff. Hello, you ain't got nothing to say more important than what I got to say right now. I'm just kidding. I ain't like that. But I got everybody sitting in different spots. So they sit around people that they don't normally be around. Because what I found out with my staff the first time, I asked the question, one of the questions I had on my survey is, who holds you accountable? Who holds you accountable? Now, what do you mean by that? Well, what I mean is that who can get in your face and tell you the truth about yourself? Who can be honest with you? Some of us got to be yes friends, and we all yes. We go out to dinner, we take cruises together. We'll never get in each other's face. We know stuff ain't right. We know they got a bad attitude. We know they got a bad disposition. We know that sometimes they loud. Sometimes we know that sometimes they say things they ought not to say. But we won't confront them. The Bible says Paul confronted Peter to his face. That was a real friend.
He told him the truth. We got to have some friends like that. We got to have somebody in our life that we can count on that when the rubber meets the road, they're going to tell us the truth about ourselves. Because most of us, we will not expose ourselves. We will not be vulnerable, you know, with folks who ain't going to just get ready, you know, with somebody say, hey, come on, man, I just want to tell you some stuff about myself. We ain't going to do it. But we got to give somebody the right, young man. Somebody got to have the right. Somebody had to have your permission for them to ask you anything they want to ask you about what's going on in your life. Boy, that'll be a blessing. That'll be a blessing. That will be a blessing. Most of us don't have it. I ain't going to ask you who got it because some of you going to lie. You're going to raise your hand and say you got it. You ain't got it. If you got it, when's the last time that you know you had that kind of conversation? When's the last time when you open up to somebody like that? When's the last time when you discern something and you went to that person? Some of us are so scared to go to somebody and say, you know, this is what the Lord is showing me about you. I ain't talking about being hocus pocus and, you know, trying to be spiritual and you trying to be a prophetess and all that. No, I'm talking about, I mean, really seriously, this is somebody that you care about. It's somebody that's your friend, that you have a real relationship with. Amen. I'm getting ready to close. Do we need to do it, huh? 30 more minutes.
Praise the Lord. Now I'm gonna finish it up. Whoa. There it is right there, the first one. He says, therefore, Ephesians 4:25, therefore putting away what? Lying. Let each one of you what? Speak truth to his neighbor. For we are what? Members one of another. Hey, we are members of each other. We're joined together, fitly joined together. We're compacted. Everybody's got a place where they fit. We're all connected together. We need each other. I'm telling you, I don't care where you are in ministry. I don't care what your title is. You need some encouragement in your life. I do. Hey, man, I know y'all love me. Amen. I know people love me. Amen. But I appreciate it when even I get an encouraging text or I get an encouraging call, phone call or whatever. Say, Pastor, man, I just thought about you. I just want you to know I'm praying for you. Hey, man, that's encouraging. And I got to be better. Say, I got to be better. I got to be better. I want to go deeper. Say, I want to go deeper. Hey, say, I got to get out of myself. Hey, say, I got to get out of this box. Hey, man, you got to step out the box, y'all. Get out of the box. See, the enemy wants you to stay in the box. The enemy wants you to, you know, to stay isolated. The enemy wants you to dwell on your past, dwell on the things that have happened to you. Amen. God allowed all those things to happen to you so he could do something through you. Amen. So everything that victimized you, now it caused you to be a victor. Y'all stand. Amen. Whatever's happening in your life, I just believe that you see. I don't know if you believe that God can just do something right now. I mean, he could just wipe the slate clean right now. See, what I'm encouraging you to do is to make a declaration that the past gonna be the past. Amen. The stuff that's happened, it happened. Amen. But if you believe the word of God, all things still work together for good to those who what? Love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. That's me. I love God. Yeah, I got some hurt, got some pain, you know, got some wounds and all that stuff. Hey, but I believe that God is working everything out for my good. Paul says, forgetting those things that are behind, right? Pressing forward to those things that are what? Before me. Gotta let it be a new day. Amen. Today has to be a new day. Hey, whether it's relationships at home, with your family, with your husband, with your children, with your sibling, with your parents, whatever it is, but especially the household of faith. Amen. You got to let all that stuff go. See, this is how serious God is about this. Y'all want to know how serious God is about this? Love your enemy. That's how serious he is. Wait a minute. Pray for those who despitefully use you. That's how serious it is. So you know, I mean, it ain't no big thing because you loving your family and all that. Love your enemy. Pray for folks that you know don't have your best interests at heart. When you can do that, hey man, you delivered. You ain't looking back. You looking forward. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If God's speaking to your heart tonight, and you know this, that, hey, this got to be it. I got to let some stuff go. I got to get back in the fight. I got to be who God intended for me to be all the time. You know, I can't be letting stuff hold me back. I can't be the Christian that I need to be. I can't be the warrior that I need to be in the kingdom. I can't be the servant that I need to be. I can't do anything until I get this love walk right. It's a process. But if that's you, if God is speaking to your heart, and you know you got to get some stuff straight, come on down here. Don't wait on nobody else to come. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Bless the name of the Lord. Change my heart, God. See, that's what we need. Not that you got a bad heart, but it just needs to be some reprocessing done. Yes. I want to be just like you. Just like him. Just like him. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, heal us tonight. Oh, help us to get stirred in our love tonight. Help us to comprehend your love. The fact that you loved us first before we even knew how to love. And God, you said that just as you loved us, we ought to love one another. Just as Jesus gave his life for us, we ought to lay down our life for the brethren. So God, I just pray that our love, Lord, Father, tonight, it's going to be red hot. It's going to be uninhibited. It's going to be unrestrained, unreserved. It's going to be gung-ho. We're going to do it with enthusiasm. God, we're going to do it, Father, Lord, Father, even when we're in pain, even when we're suffering, even when we're going through. God, we're not going to allow that to hinder our love because we know that's what the enemy wants tonight. Father, he comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. But you came that we might live this life to the full. So God, we pray right now, God, that you will heal us tonight. God, we pray that we'll lay aside every weight. Father, even those things that are sinful tonight. I pray, Father, against the spirit of unforgiveness right now. Oh God, I pray against the spirit of selfishness right now in the name of Jesus. God, we loose a selfless spirit, Father, in this house right now. God, that we will esteem others higher than ourselves, that we would have the mind of Christ, that we will humble ourselves, oh God, Father, Lord, just like Jesus did, Father, so that we will be ministers one to another. Pray for our words, Lord, that the words that come out of our mouth, Lord, that they'll minister grace, Lord, to the hearer. I pray that we won't be backbiters, we won't be gossipers, oh God. Father, Lord, we won't be people that are stirring up strife, but God, that we'll be peacemakers tonight. Oh, God, I just pray right now, Father, that your love, Lord, will not wax cold in this house, oh, God. But, Father, Lord, that your love will be, Father, Lord, on fire. Lord, your love will be hot, God. Father, I pray for those of us, Lord, who are, Father, who are the mature ones, oh, God, that we won't go back to drinking milk right now. God, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that, Father, we'll eat strong, we'll be strong, and we'll eat the meat, oh, God. We'll set the example, we'll set the bar, Father, Lord, for those around us, oh, God.
And Father, that we will, Father, go the second mile. We'll walk the second mile. We'll give our cloak, oh God. We'll, Father, turn the other cheek. We'll do whatever's necessary so that we can demonstrate, Father, Lord, to one another and to the world the love of Christ. We thank you, Father. Heal us tonight. Oh, some of us are wounded, oh God. Some of us are still in pain, oh God. Some of us, Father, suffering from, Father, things where we've been rejected. We've been hurt. We've been abandoned, oh God. Father, we've been disappointed. But God, we know that you are Jehovah Rapha tonight. That you are the Lord our God who heals us. You are the one who makes bitter experiences sweet. We bless you for it tonight. And God, as we stand before you, God, Lord, as those who are standing, God, they came, Lord, Father, with a purpose tonight. Father, they came laying aside weights, Lord God, laying aside, Father, Lord, anything, Lord, that's been holding them bound tonight. We thank you for liberty. We thank you that you have set us free. And we bless you. We honor you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Make it
in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Can you just hold that for a moment? Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Pastor Walker, would you come here? Praise the Lord. Because see, this is not a game for me. This is really, really serious. And see, I need you. And this is my dad. And we have allowed, I have allowed time to pass without me spending time with him the way I need to. It doesn't matter that I'm 63 years old. I still need him just like when I was 33. Amen. I remember, you know, vacations together. I remember, you know, a lot of things that we did together. And because of all the stuff that he's placed in me, that he's imparted to me, I am the man that I am. So I repent. I ask for forgiveness because I need to be intentional. Amen. I tell my people all the time, it's just one of me. You know, it's all of y'all. So I know that's the case with him. So I've got to be intentional in making sure that I spend time, even if I have to sit on his doorstep and just wait on him to come out, you know. Whatever it takes, you know, that's just something that I know that I need. Amen. So I can't preach to y'all and then I become a castaway. But I know what I need. I know the relationships that I need to have in my life. And the one of the Father is one that I value very much, but I haven't acted on. I haven't shown that I value it, but I'm going to do that. And I ask you to forgive me tonight. God bless you. Amen. I thank God for the word tonight and for your response to the word. And you know exactly, you know, what God wants to do in your heart, what he wants to do in your life. I would just encourage you to, as a response to this word, is to find that person. If you don't know who that person is, but to find somebody in your life that you can really, that's really a true friend, that will really hold you accountable, you know, in your life, because you need that for growth. You need that for you to move to the next place in God, to have somebody in your life that you can really, really be honest with. So I'm admonishing you, you know, not to let that word slip away, but to ask God, ask the Holy Spirit to help you in that. Amen. God bless you and have a great night.
Well, I can say the same thing, is that I always say that you're a better son than I'm a father. But I ask God also, ask forgiveness and ask God to continue to show me how to be a father, how to be a spiritual father. I'm so proud of you and so appreciate all that God has done in your life over the years. We got a lot of history together, a lot of history. And I've seen God's hand on your life, and what you shared here tonight, this is family talk. This is family, and I want you to know that this is a time where you can speak into this house as a part of the family, and we receive it as such. So the message you gave us tonight was for all of us to understand and to demonstrate that love. We, Francine and I, have been having conversation about that, but when you brought it here, I trust that they received it like I received it. Amen. That all received it. Amen. Amen. Because we don't want anyone to get lost in the cracks. We want to make sure that not only the fact that we love, because if you're saved, you already, it's in there. But it's just a matter of it being expressed. How can you express that? And let's help each other. Let's help one another. And one good way of doing that is to interpret the expression that the person may be straining to express. Sometimes you can interpret it yourself. You know, I remember times when I say, you really love me, don't you? But it's really saying, this is what you're saying through the things that you're doing. But I'm letting you know that I read you. I'm reading you. So I believe as a church, if we just practice that, and I'm saying me, all of us, just really being expressive and making sure that all are secure in the love that the Lord has placed within our hearts so that that love can be expressed freely. I believe that that atmosphere, you talk about the atmosphere, the climate, this house is going to be such, people walking in the door, they're going to know what kind of environment they're walking into. That this is a place, yes, it's cross-culture church, but it's a place of love and a place of expressing that love to one another. From the parking lot, the door, after church is over, because it's not just during the church service, after church is over, that love is still being expressed. So thank you, my son, for sharing tonight. Amen.